1 Kings chapter 8, let's read verse 1 and then we're going to skip down to verse number 10. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Skip down to verse number 10. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Let's pray and ask God to bless the preaching. I'm going to ask Brother Berlucci, would you please pray for me to preach, brother? Amen. Now here we're taking our thought tonight from verse number 11. He says, so the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. As I was reading this chapter over, as my habit is to just kind of, when I'm getting ready there on Monday morning after I've preached on Sunday, I go to the next chapter and I start reading, or the next portion, and I just start reading it, and I read it over after I'm done with my own devotions and just look at it and just read it again and just look at it and read it again and look at it. And usually something along the line there somewhere sticks out to me. The Holy Spirit begins to speak to my heart. And I'm telling you, this week He spoke to my heart out of verse number 11. I desire with my life for the glory of the Lord to fill it. I'm talking about my life. I'm not talking about you yet or our church or anything else. I'm talking about Mike Reagan. I desire to see the glory of God fill my life. I want God to be glorified. I know what I am. I realize what I am. I am under no misconceptions about who Mike Reagan is. I know him much better than you do. And God knows him better than I know him. And I realize that there's nothing in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For a will is present with me sometimes. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. I know what I am, I know what I deserve, and I desire with my life to glorify my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want my preaching to glorify the Lord. I want my preaching to glorify Jesus Christ. When I was younger, I preached to my ego. Now, I don't care. The Lord used some people along the way that you would never expect God to use. One of them never even got right with God. He came to church because we had free food. But God used him in my life. And I've never forgotten something he said to me. He never got off the dope. He never got off the alcohol. He never got off the wicked living he'd been doing. He never got in church for the right reasons. I say it again, he came for the food and any money I might give him, because I helped him out a couple times to my own shame. Amen. You know what he said to me as we were leaving the church one day? My heart was burdened. We were in the storefront. A lot was going on. I was very burdened. I remember that day. And I preached the best I could that day. And it wasn't a real great performance in preaching. And as I was walking out, as he was walking out, I was standing back there like I do now. And there's a little tiny foyer area. And people would be coming by and I'd shake hands as they're leaving. And he said, man, you sure have been real docile lately. What happened to all that jumping and yelling and stuff? You seem to be dying out. Something along those lines. And I said, so you come for the performance? And he looked at me and I said, what did I say? I don't know what you say. I just like to watch you. And that I've never forgotten. I realized that the preaching was more about the antics and semantics than it was about the Word of God. I don't care. I don't really care now how people judge my preaching anymore. I appreciate your kindness and the compliments you give me. And please, you know, if the Lord's laying that on your heart, don't stop, because it does help me. I know you think I got alligator skin. People made that accusation to me. I know you think I have nerves of steel. I've had people say that about me. And I know my face looks angry all the time, but I'm a lot more sensitive than you think I am. And I appreciate it. So I'm not saying that to push you away or say I don't care what anybody thinks about my preaching, but really I have begun to realize that Mike Reagan does not matter. And honestly, as much as I love people, and I am learning to do that, God is helping me with that. I do love this church, and I do love you, and I do care about you. Sometimes I think more than you care about yourself. And that aggravates me. That burdens me. And I know I don't come across that way, but I'm sharing my heart with you tonight. But listen to me. More important than people leaving saying, oh, that was so great, is did I glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in that preaching? Was he pleased? Because if all I do is help you, but Jesus wasn't pleased and glorified with what came out of my mouth, then I was a failure as a preacher, no matter how popular it might be, how many people might say that was a blessing, how many people might say we love to hear you preach, we come to hear you preach. If Jesus Christ is not glorified, I have failed as a preacher. I want to glorify the Lord in my preaching. I really want to glorify the Lord in my home. Gentlemen, you realize God says she needs you. God tells the women in Corinthians that they're to have power on their head because of the angels. That theme's been coming up here on Wednesday nights and again this morning. And what does that mean? Well, that what that's saying is that those demonic spirits go after the weaker vessel. Ladies, I don't believe you're weak. You understand that? Nothing aggravates me more than, oh, I'm just a weak, I'm just a weak. You're nowhere near as weak as you act like you are when you and him get in the car on the way home and you're mad because he didn't do what you wanted. Amen. I'm not putting you down, and I'm not saying that you're weak. I'm saying this according to the Bible and according to science. No matter how much you shoot testosterone or whatever else you do to make yourself a man, God made you a weaker vessel. Weaker vessel. I don't need to go into all that because we're all adults, but the emotional distinctions and differences between men and women make a woman more vulnerable. And God says she's to have power on her head because of the angels. Well, listen, if you have a spiritual leader in your home, thank God for that. He ain't perfect, but thank God for that. And if you don't, make sure that you stay under God. Make sure that you stay in church under good Bible preaching. Make sure that you keep your mind on right, because the devil will come after your minds. He will attack you. Because whether or not he can get at your husband, if he can get at your husband, then he can get at you. If he can't get at your husband, he will try to use you to get at your husband. Just read your Bible and you'll find that out. I actually went through a list in my Bible of good, strong, powerful, spirit-filled, godly men who did fine no matter what life brought them until a woman got to them. Oh, those women, that's the devil. Knock it off, man. How come every time I got to preach in the jail, you always start giving me, you're the devil. You're an idiot. You put that in her head that she's the devil just because you got to preach and all of a sudden you can act however you want. It doesn't matter if she says boo, she's the devil getting in your way of ministering, right? Not very wise, gentlemen. What we need to realize as men is that the devil will go after our wives. I don't blame the women. I blame myself, first of all. Secondly, I blame the devil because I know we're in a battle. You understand that? We're in a battle, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Gentlemen, how are you going to glorify God in your home? How? Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, that's a tall order. I know. It's just, listen, I wish you could see it from my perspective right now. Everybody's like, oh boy, that's way too personal. But this is Bible preaching. You know how I want to glorify the Lord in my home?
You know how? I want to learn to love her and love those girls like Christ loves me. And I'll be honest with you, because they're sitting there looking at me anyway, so I might as well not even try to lie. I fail. But I'm trying to learn. You know why? It glorifies the Lord when I love my family like I should. I want to love you like I should. You know why? It glorifies the Lord. Because listen, people aren't always lovable. But Jesus Christ gets glory when I love you like he wants me to love you. I want the Lord glorified. Can I say something else, church? And I think we can all agree on this. I want the Lord glorified in this church. The piano that is played, the songs that are sung, the congregationals that are sung, the preaching that is done, the nursery that is run, the vacuums that are run, the Sunday school teachers that are teaching, our goal ought to be one thing, and that one thing ought to be to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I want his glory to fill this house. I want his glory to show up in these services. I want these kids to experience what I've got to experience a couple of times in my life. I want to see a church that is unified, that is strong, that is focused on one thing, and that is pleasing to Almighty God so that his glory can show up and fill this place and people can experience the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. They can experience the excitement that comes when God's people's hearts are stirred by the preaching and the Holy Ghost of God shows up and ministers in the house. I want my kids, I want your kids to know that feeling. More than anything in the world, I want them to know what it feels like to be in church. And if the Lord don't show up, this ain't church. It's a social club. And I love church and I love God's people, but I don't care about social clubs. My social club would be Gracie, Anna, Sophia, Lillian, Ava, Sarge, and yes, Coco. And that stupid snapping turtle that's in my stinking garage now because they just had to rescue the dumb thing. That thing stinks. But he's in the family now, and the chinchilla. That's my idea of a social circle. The motive for what we got going on here is not all about social circles, and I do love you, and I am thankful for you, and you encourage me being here. I mean it from my heart, but the motive of this whole thing is not social circles. I wouldn't know most of you. I wouldn't know any of you without Jesus Christ. But boy, we lose focus of that stuff. Solomon here assembles the elders in verse number 1. Before the glory of God falls, there's an assembly. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel unto King Solomon in Jerusalem. For what purpose? That they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the 7th month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. Even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark. We'll stop right there. We'll finish it in a minute. You guys want God's glory to show up? I do. You know what you got to have? You got to have an assembly. You know what Hebrews says? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You live in a day and age where they're cutting the midweek service, they're cutting the evening service. My kids said the other kids at school all think they're weird because they go back to church on Sunday. Our neighbors, you can see them, they're watching us, man. They're leaving again, they're going to church again. And they even made little comments like, how many times do you go to church on Sunday? Not enough!
Why? Because the Bible says in so much the more, not the less, so much the more as you see the day approaching. But nowadays, you can't get people to come back on a Wednesday night, on a Sunday night. I mean, you are a rare and a dying breed that you're willing to come back when you want to sit at home and be lazy because you got to kick it off tomorrow morning and get back out there in the world. You're more interested in your cell phones, in your YouTube, in your Instagram than you are in coming to hear the Word of God. That's the day and age you live. You people are bizarre in being willing to come back today and hear more preaching tonight, especially since you had something going on in between services today. That's a strange breed. But what you and I need, we need to assemble together. You know, sometimes you need to come to church just because, well, I ain't getting anything out of it. Strangest thing in the world happened to me, and the Lord used this to help me too. God speaks not just through sheep, but goats also. Well, I had some people all just tore out of the frame and mad and a little click left and got all upset. And one of the accusations they made as they were leaving was, he ain't preaching the Bible anymore. And that was shortly after I had left just kind of randomly preaching messages that God had laid on my heart and gone to preaching one chapter at a time, week by week. I had never been more biblically focused in my preaching than at that point. And as the goats were leaving, I wish I could do a goat thing. I don't even know how they do that, but I would do it right now if I could. He ain't preaching the Bible anymore. I said, you know what? That was helpful to me. Bless God. Hallelujah. Because I know one thing for sure. I know that's a false accusation. I know one thing. If I know anything at all, I know that I'm preaching the Bible. The best I know how. God helping me, I'll get better. God being gracious to me and not killing me like I deserve. We'll get somewhere with it someday. But I know one thing. I'm preaching the Word of God. Hey, you ought to be in church because the Bible is being preached. You ain't always going to get something out of every message, but it's not about you all the time. It's about Him. And so I ought to come to church because maybe some of the Sunday school kids are looking for me. Where's Pastor? Oh, he had something going on. Really? I guess when I get old enough to have something going on, I'll be gone too. I need to be in church because I want the power of God to show up. I want the glory of God to be seen. And I don't always feel like it. Me and Gracie were sitting in the office this afternoon. I was on the phone in between services, business, church stuff, doors shut. You know, the rule is when the doors are shut, that means we're not here. There's a problem. They're glass doors. So little faces fit right in squares. That is the only thing worse than, not right now, okay? It's just like, just ignore them. They'll go away. Just pretend they're not there. Just, hey, I'm not even talking about the kids. The dogs do it too. I'm going to shoot you. Get out of here. She's sitting there. She looks over at me. She says, I need ibuprofen. I said, me too. I said, I could crawl right in bed and pull the covers up over my head and go to sleep and forget it. Can I tell you something? It's been about 3 hours now. I don't feel the same way anymore. I don't always feel like coming to church, and I'm your pastor. How's that make you feel? But if I don't show up, I might miss something. And God might have something for you tonight that you need. I hope He does. God might have something for you tonight that your family needs. Boy, God helping me, something might click for one of you tonight that might change your future. And if one person gets helped and God gets glorified because I showed up with the assembly tonight, then it's well worth it. You understand that? It's well worth it. We need to be faithful to assemble together. Hey, you live in a day and age when you're being attacked and beat down and pressured by the devil, by your flesh, by the world, by everything else going on, by your finances. It doesn't stop. It doesn't end. And you need somewhere to go where you can gather together and just get a little bit of help. Just see if God will show up. Just maybe be a little bit of a blessing to somebody else once in a while. That sure is helpful. I've found in my life it's more blessed to give than receive. And I'm not necessarily just talking about money, so relax, breathe, it's all right. Sometimes maybe just trying to give somebody a blessing or a word of encouragement or be there for them. Always trying to get something. God wouldn't have been here. God wouldn't have showed up if these people hadn't assembled together in unity. I preached to you this morning the devil wants to divide and conquer. And one of my biggest fears about the addition, before this other sidestep ever showed up, one of my biggest fears has been the devil getting in there. Because I don't want to lose one of you. Did you hear me? I told you I act and look tougher than I am. I don't want to lose one of you. And the devil will try to get you worked up and stirred up and upset about foolishness. And he'll get you out that door and he'll wind up taking you. He could take your marriage. He could take your children. You say, you trying to scare me? Yeah, if it'll straighten you up. Not only are they all assembled together, but they're assembled together in unity and they're assembled together in their proper positions. Look at that. You got the elders of Israel in verse number 1. You got all the heads of the tribes. You got the chief of the fathers of the children. You've got all the men of Israel. Let me just stop real quick. Not everybody has to be a chief. He went through and he named all the offices and the titles and the positions. Well, it's important that the leadership be out front. That's okay that he did that. It's appropriate that he names them first. Why? Because leadership means out front. Amen. One of the most inspirational characters is that chesty polar guy, that Marine. That psycho, man, if I'm remembering correct, because I haven't looked at it in a long time, but that psycho, he'd get out there walking, stand up, the boys are all laying down, hunkered down on the front lines, and he's walking back and forth, bare-chested, with a handgun shoved in his belt, screaming at them and cussing them out. Man, no wonder them guys go out there and kill people. And little boys are laying in there scared, and there's the old man strutting back and forth, just right out there, right out in the open, just challenging them to shoot me. That's leadership. That's a guy I can follow. I like that. It's okay that the leaders get out front. But not everybody has to be a leader. Because if everybody's got to be the big guy out front, number one, half the time he's acting. He's scared half to death. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's doing what you got to do, no matter how terrified you are. Because you got to do what you got to do. It's not what you think it is. So you just might not want the title you think you want. Number one. Number two, it's okay that there's just some solid men sitting around. I don't underestimate or disrespect that. Without you, there is no church. Amen. He who thinketh he leadeth with no followers simply taketh a walk. Sounded very profound, right? We need some solid men. We need some pillars in this church. Some solid women. It's okay that you're just one of the congregation. Because it's not about me and it's not about you and it's not about titles and it's not about who's who. It's about the glory of God showing up. And without a solid congregation, the glory of God ain't going to show up. Because we're supposed to assemble together in His name. The problem with the modern day church is they got to have small groups and we got to have leaders of small groups and click here and sign up here if you want to be a leader of this and a leader of that and a leader of the other. You don't even know how to pick your nose very effectively, let alone teach the Bible. Everybody's got to be a stinking leader.
Amen. There's technique, man, but I digress.
I'm sorry. But that's not going away no matter what happens with buildings or fancy pulpits. Amen.
We need to band together. And some of you men that are just a faithful man that comes to church, I was telling some of the older folks, I was telling Grandma Noble this week, she said, I want you to stop by because I need to talk to you. She said, well, I was at First Baptist at South Lyon when we built that sanctuary, and Gordon Noble, the whole time we were there, she called him Gordon Noble. They were married over 70 years, right, brother? 70, 71? 71 years. She called him Gordon Noble. And she was telling me what a good man he was. And she said, Gordon Noble was there with those preachers. He backed every preacher he ever had. He loved his preacher he was there with. And she just, I got to tell you what the Lord did because the Lord's going to do it again. Amen. I said, all right, I'm going to go sit and I'm going to listen. I don't say this disrespectfully. I'm going to go sit and listen to what that old lady has to say. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 87 years old. And I went over to her house and I sat there and I listened to her talk about what God, she'd seen God do in her life right here in this town. And you know what Gordon Noble was? He was just a man in the church. He was just a faithful man his whole life. He was a witness. He was passing out gospel tracts everywhere he went, picking up kids on the bus. You were one of them, right? Gordon Noble used to pick up Mrs. Job, take her to church on the bus. She's sitting back there right now. Mary Deaton. You guys know Mary Deaton? Just had her back surgery. Gordon Noble used to pick up Mary Deaton when she was a little girl on the church bus and take her to church. She's sitting in this church now. 40-year-old grandson sitting right back over there. 43, 44. 43-year-old grandson sitting over there. And guess what? They've been praying for years, as long as I've known them, for their daddy to get back in church. Guess who's been sitting in church? Dad. He called while I was over there and she said, well, you're not going to believe who's here. She said, our favorite preacher. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. Giving me a hard time, you know. Next thing you know, he walks in the door. She said, I told him you're our favorite preacher. And he said, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. He said, I ain't going nowhere, Pastor. I ain't going nowhere. This is my church. You know what you could have done? You could have just sopped me up off the floor with a rag. That 70-year-old man, 69-year-old man is looking at me saying, I ain't going nowhere. This is my church and you're my preacher. She said, you remember when you came and visited me in the rehab center over there? I'd forgotten about that. I said, yeah, I do now. She was the only preacher who came to see me. You can't underestimate the power of a man that'll sit in church and not quit and be faithful and love his wife and follow his Lord and just be about the glory of Jesus Christ. And look, he's in heaven now today, and his wife comes in here and sits in church, and she says this. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to share this. I hope I don't get in trouble with her, but I'm going to share this. She says, Pastor, that was the best preaching I've ever heard in my life. Now listen, now I'm going to share something with you. I'm going to be for real with you tonight. You know what I think? Down to the word. She's just saying that. You know what she said to me last week? Now, I'm telling you, that was the best sermon I ever heard in my life. And she spun around and got right in my face and she said, and I'm not just saying that. Said, holy smokes, okay, God, don't strike me dead, man. I mean, the Holy Ghost of God's reading my mind and put in that woman's mouth to say, and I'm not just saying that exactly the way I think it through in my brain. Hey, you can't underestimate the power of a person who just wants to worship God and walk in the doors of church and stay faithful and glorify God to help out some little young preacher to give him a little fire in his gut to get him preaching again like he just started.
That's the glory of God. And when that woman says, I felt God in that church like I've never felt in my life, that means a little something to me. That scares the fire out of me. That gets me praying more than ever before, because that's what I want to be real. The glory of God showing up in this place. You say, you think it's because you're the best preacher she's ever heard? Pardon me a minute. Heck no. You know what I think it is? I think it's her heart. I could probably get up and say, Yankee Doodle went to town riding on a pony. Jesus loves us and God's great. Let's go home. And she'd say, that was the best message I ever heard, because she's coming in looking to lift up the Lord. And she heard a little something about the Lord and it stirred her soul. Well, no wonder the glory of God's showing up. I got to get done here. Look at verse 5. They assembled together. They sacrificed together. They're sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. The priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord into his place, and the oracle of the house of the most holy place, even into the wings of the cherubim. You know what happened? God's people had all pitched in and everybody done their part, and they sacrificed together. And that's why the glory of the Lord showed up. Can I say this? When I quit my job to go full-time at the church, I didn't ask anybody. I just did my thing. I operate a little bit differently nowadays than I did back then, so please don't get freaked out by me. I just quit my job. And I told the church, I'm going in tomorrow, I'm quitting my job, I'm done. You know what the guys came to me and said? Well, we ain't letting you step out on faith by yourself. So add up your bills and come tell us what it is and we'll see what we can do. I added up my bills. I told them what it was. The church voted in a budget in the red. $600 a month in the red. That don't sound like much to you, but I had just bought my first house. I had quit my job. I had personally signed the lease in the storefront on me because the church hadn't been around long enough to be much of a, you know, there was nothing for them to leverage with the church. It was on me for $1,750 a month. It was on me. And I signed that thing. And I'm like, everybody's coming up to us and hugging us. Oh, praise the Lord, we got a full-time pastor. She cried all the way home. Don't you dare criticize. You couldn't handle it. She pulled it together and got behind me and started praying and trusting God and watched me stress. I stress. I've always stressed more than she stresses. But you know why we're here today? I have to say this. You know why we're here today? Not because I quit my job. Because God's people said, let's pull together. And they supported me ahead of a building. You're a pastor. Well, didn't some of them leave? Yeah. Didn't some of them leave wrong? Yeah. Do you hate them? No, do you? I'm thankful they were here for when they did. I'm thankful they did what they did. I appreciate them. Maybe God moved them on. I don't know. But some people sacrificed. You see all these little kids we got in here? You know what it's going to take for you to raise your kids for God? We got one in the oven any day now. The timer is clicking, man. The smoke's all over the kitchen. The thing's about ready to come out. Amen. You know what it's going to take? Sacrifice. A lot of sacrifice. But that's what God's people do. You know why? That's what he did for us. It's your reasonable service. David had done so back in chapter 7, verse 51. David had stored up a whole bunch of stuff. Solomon brought in the things which David, his father, had dedicated, even the silver and the gold and the vessels, did he put among the treasures of the house of the Lord. Why do we do the key person's insurance? I'll tell you why. So that whenever I kick the bucket, somebody behind me can say, wow, that old man left all that to the church. If you don't know what it is, you should have been at the business meeting. This is our second year doing it. If I die, you get rich. Not you. Bible Believers Church. Go get you a building, amen? I want to be like that. That man stored up and laid up so somebody behind him could have something and do something with their life. What are you storing up? What are you laying up? Are you willing to sacrifice? Whatever you love, you'll sacrifice for, Christian. Hey, more power to you, okay? But some of you guys own more stupid guns. Amen. I'm not against it. I'm not preaching against boats and guns and all that stuff. I'll probably accumulate a few more myself. Amen. But I'm just trying to remind you how important that stuff really ain't. And if you're willing to do what you'll do for the things you love, let me ask you a question about what you love. You want God's glory showing up? You're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to come to church when you don't feel like it. You're going to have to be unified in the work of God when you want to fight. You think I don't want to fight sometimes? You've been offended? So have I. And you know what I've done? You say, well, how come you didn't say nothing? Because I've realized that 99% of the time when people have offended me, they have no idea they did and did not mean to. And I just rather kind of believe that sometimes because it's easier on my emotions. Nah, they probably didn't mean it. Pass the salt. You're going to have to determine that you're willing to sacrifice. You have to determine you're willing to take a good hard shot from the devil, a good hard shot from the brethren, a good hard shot from life, and keep coming. Why? Because it's worth it if the Lord's glorified and these kids have something in the future where they can someday continue on for Jesus Christ. We're doing something with our lives, folks. We're doing something. 10 years ago when we, well, boy, I mean, I'm telling you, it's flown by. I will never forget. I got to tell this story, Jim, I'm sorry. I will never forget when Bill Whitus walked up to your car and planted his 240-pound, 250-pound rear end on the hood of your car and crossed his legs on the sidewalk. Do you remember that? Oh, yeah. Jim was about 37 years old back then, and you guys know him in one way. I know Jim a different way. He's like, we're talking about, you know, we're in the negotiations, you know what I'm saying? And he's like, what are you doing? Get off my car. It ain't your car. What's the matter with you? I mean, he just ripped. This is a big old monster of a man. He just ripped his face off. That's a cool story. You can smile. It's okay. That's awesome because I would have never done that to him. So cool. I forgot that part. Yeah, I think about that stuff. You know why? The Jim Richardson I know today is a totally different man. Look how old he is. Look at all them wrinkles. Hey, time has flown by. And we're going to be standing here, and I'm going to be in my early 50s, and you're going to be in your late 50s, and these kids are all going to be getting married. That fast. And it ain't about us. And it ain't about them. It's about him. But we have to determine we're going to leave something behind. We have to be willing to assemble together. We have to be willing to sacrifice together. And then we can experience the glory of the Lord together. Where does that come from? Look at verse 12. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I've surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. The king turned his face about, blessed all the congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and with his hand hath fulfilled it. And he goes on to give you the background of God bringing his people out of Egypt and God setting up David as the king. And I'm skipping over it for the sake of time, but come down there to verse number 21. He says, I have set there a place for the ark wherein is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. You want to experience the glory of God together? It's going to be experienced based on what God said.
God told my father something. God told Israel something when he brought him out of Egypt. God said, God said, God said, God said. Now here we've gone and we built something for God that he never asked us to build. But what we're asking is that God show up in this thing and glorify himself based on what he said.
From day one, Bible Believers Church has been all about Bible-believing preaching. I don't recant. I don't repent. I don't retract. We don't change pattern. We don't try to fit the modern age. We don't worry about... Listen, Bible preaching always has been, and Bible preaching always will be relevant to the common man in his life, where the rubber meets the road, where the bills need to be paid, where the relationships need to be worked out, where you got to go to a work, you got to have a job, you got to deal with problems, you got to go to the doctor. Hey, Bible-believing preaching is more relevant today than it's ever been. Hey, we need it more now than we've ever needed it. And if the power of God and the glory of God's going to show up, it's going to be because we're a people who are all about the book. Amen. Stand in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Well, if we put on an addition and more people come, listen to me. God pays his bills. So if we follow God and do it God's way, nothing to worry about. And if God don't pay his bills, what are we doing here? This ain't a career for me. It's a calling. I don't clock out. It wakes me up in the middle of the night. I walk through the kitchen and the kids say, what? And I say, nothing. And they laugh at me. You're preaching to yourself again? Mm-hmm. I don't clock out. This is a calling. You understand that? This is not about church. This is not about building a church. This is about glorifying the Lord and preaching that book. He's done it for my fathers. Hey, I believe with all my heart, if I walk in the right way, he'll do it for me, and there'll be rest for my soul and rest for your soul and rest for our children. We'll see God's power and God's glory if we stick with it God's way. And if I die and you get that sweet life insurance policy, start putting in the stuff to bring in the people, I'll ask God if I can come back on Halloween just to kick you in the teeth. Amen. Burn up all your speakers and bust up all your drums. It's about the hand of God. In verses 15 and 16, the hand of God was on David. Hath with his hand fulfilled it. Whatever you see here, I'm going to wrap it up with this. Whatever you see here, you see the hand of God. We got a church, don't we? We do have a church. It's the hand of God. You know what I appreciate? I appreciate men that were in this area before me. You've heard me talk a little bit about where I came from and all that stuff, but you know there was a little group of people who asked me to come up here and start a church and nagged me for years to come up and start a church. And I said, no, no, no. You know where all those people were from? All those people are from my dad's church. And they said, we want a church up here. And I said, no. We want a church up here. No. We want a church up here. No. Where are they at today, preacher? Don't worry about it. But my dad must have done something right putting the Bible in them. Because they wanted a Bible preaching church still. Went to my uncle's funeral and old Mrs. Pugh, she came up to me. We used to call her Auntie Pugh. She was in my dad's church back in the day. She's always so sweet to me and my sisters. It's just really sweet. She came up to me and she said, Michael, would you pray about coming up here and starting a church? And I said, I'll tell you what. You pray for me that God will change my mind. And I said it so arrogantly. I remember putting my head back like that, dropping my hands in my pockets, squaring my shoulders, looking down my nose, just like that. She ain't much shorter than me, but it's just enough, amen? I said, I'll tell you what, you pray, God changes my mind if that's his will. And she said, okay, I will do that. Now I tell all the old ladies, will you pray for me? 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 Guys, I'm thankful your dad was faithful here. Because God set this thing up to take care of this church and to take care of them and their mom. Thankful for that. See, there's a lot that's going on in the background. There always is more to the story. Oh, I want to be a pastor. Shut your trap. If God called you, do it. You understand me? Do it, man. Do it. Do it. When God tells you, go, go. I mean, go. Because God told you, go lock and load and go get them, man. But if God didn't tell you, go. Be more worried about God's glory than your own. I think about David. I think about Moses. I think about Hudson Taylor, David Brainerd, Obadiah Holmes. Bringing it a little closer to home, I think about Brother Lentz. Think about Dr. Ruckman. I think about some of the older men that are still serving God that are my friends and mentors now, Brother Peacock and Brother Sowell, Brother Veach. There are men who've gone before us, and God's been good to those men, and God's been true to those men. Because they stuck with God. They tried to glorify the Lord. It doesn't always have to be a big, fancy church building. Some are Jeremiah's, some are Elijah's, some are John the Baptist's. But we all have to be all about one thing, and that is bringing glory to the Lord. And if we'll worry about His glory, He'll work out the details. He won't fail us. The problem is we're a little more worried about our own will than we are about His glory. Stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Brother Brian's going to come and play a hymn for you this morning, this evening. My invitation to you is simple. I want to ask you to be, if you're comfortable enough, if you would, step out tonight. Let's